Good morning to all of you. Hope you're having a great Feast of Tabernacles. I'd like to start off this morning with a little bit of humor. So I have a joke for you, but there's not a lot of time in a split sermon, so I'm going to skip to the point, just give you the punchline. So then the farmer says, well, at least it isn't green. It's a great joke. Sorry you didn't get the whole effect of it, but as I said, we need to move fairly quickly. This message is structured as a joke. I have a little bit of a surprise for you at the end, but in order to get that surprise and enjoy the surprise, you'll have to pay attention to the body of the message as well. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. This is a Youth Day message. I would ask the youth, please try to stick with me. If you have a Bible handy, please use it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. I was asked to slow down. That's a hard thing for me to do. Hello to those who are in the Spanish translation area. I'll try to slow down for you. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We've referred to that already at least once, I know, directly, but I wanted to turn and read it. One of the passages that says that we shall reign as priests of God and of Christ with Christ for 1,000 years. How do we do that? Mr. Petty talked about the questions that that brings up. He was talking about me. I can remember sitting at the Feast of Tabernacles in Lake of the Ozarks in the late 70s with a crowd of 12, 14,000 people thinking, what should I do for a career that will train me to be a leader in the world tomorrow? And I remember thinking about, well, maybe I should be a city planner. Somebody had talked about all the cities and how to do them right. I thought, well, maybe I should go to college, study, become a city planner. Then I can be useful in the kingdom of God. That didn't sound all that interesting to me, to be a city planner, and I wasn't sure that was a good idea. But I remember thinking about, how do I become a leader in the world tomorrow? How do I become someone who's qualified to be a leader, to help serve with Jesus Christ, to serve mankind in the kingdom of God? Well, God has a training program for each one of us. He has a training program for you to prepare you to reign with Jesus Christ. And today I want to give you an introduction to what that training program is like and to encourage you, if you have not already, to join the training program. You have the option. You can join or you can opt out. I hope that no matter how young you are, if you understand the words I'm saying, I hope you will decide to join the program. You can join today. What is this training program? The training program, as I'm going to lay it out here, involves four categories of qualities that God desires in godly leaders. Number one, there are specific skills that God is looking for. Skills such as wisdom, discernment, and the ability to teach. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I do have to warn you, this is not a simple message. So you may have to work to stay with me, but it's worth it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. The words of God given to us by Paul here, verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But the strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, or them that are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do you gain wisdom, discernment, and the ability to teach? It comes, Paul says, by reason of use. You have to start, you have to practice. And again, no matter how young you are, you can start today. By reason of use, to discern both good and evil. God tells us what is good and what is evil. We can't learn it from the world around us. If you're old enough to be in school, if you're in high school, if you've gone to college, you're not going to learn to discern good and evil from those around you. This world, this society, has lost almost complete knowledge of good and evil. We've got it reversed in many cases. We call evil good and good evil. I read about that somewhere in this very book. We see it around us every day. We don't learn to discern good and evil from those around us, in our schools, on our job. We learn it from the Word of God and from those who practice the Word of God and set an example for us. But we have to practice as well. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil, to know the difference between good and evil. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 30. What will that lead to? Isaiah chapter 30. If we can learn to discern between good and evil, and of course when we discern between good and evil, we should practice good and turn away from evil. But the first step is knowing the difference. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. This is a millennial prophecy, a millennial scripture. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear it, he shall answer you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner any more, but your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Who is the teacher of these people who are not removed into a corner, but who are seen and who are there to say, oh, you're going the wrong way? You need to get back on the path. This is the path. Get back on. Those teachers can be you if your senses have been exercised to discern good and evil. If you've followed the training program that God has for us to know good and evil, to have wisdom, and to have the ability to teach others. What can you do starting now? You can study the book of Proverbs. Again, if you're old enough to read, I would encourage you, if you've never done it, start reading the book of Proverbs. And I can pretty well guarantee what you'll say. I don't understand it. It's all right. Read it again. I sit down at the age of 50, and I read the book of Proverbs, and sometimes I say, I don't understand it. But I understand it better now than I did when I was 12, 13, 14. By reason of use, we get these things. Wisdom and discernment doesn't happen overnight. It's not a four-month class. You take the final exam and bam, I got a degree in wisdom. It takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. James 1:5, you don't need to turn there. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. I don't care how young you are, ask God for wisdom. Part of the training program. Part of the training program God has for us. Number two, category number two. We need a good reputation of those around us and the ability to work with all kinds of people. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Being able to work with all kinds of people and developing a good reputation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, Peter writes, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conduct honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. I sat in a seat when I was your age. Unless you're under five, I didn't sit in a seat in the congregation until I was five. If you're five or older, I sat in a seat just like you do now, listening to God's word being taught. And I can remember thinking, moment of confession, I can remember thinking, what do I care about those people? They're pagans. What do I care what they think about me? I'm in the church of God. They're not. Peter says our conduct should be honest among those who are outsiders, that they may speak against us as evildoers. Your friends say, oh, that's a weird religion. You don't eat leavening for a whole week? I've had people tell me as an adult, you can't do that. Oh, been doing it for 50 years. I didn't know I couldn't. You know, it is possible. It is possible. But it's weird. But part of our training program is that they say, well, yeah, that's weird, but he's a pretty nice guy, or she's a really nice girl. There's something different about them. Verse number 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What kind of a reputation are you developing in those around you? Are you able to work with, to talk with, to be on a team with, to play with, to do things with people of all different kinds? You're going to have to if you're part of God's reigning family. When Jesus Christ returns, there are going to be all sorts of people, not like you, not like me, who are going to need your help. And you need to be able to work with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Corinthian church had all sorts of problems. Paul wrote to them here in the letter in 1 Corinthians, explaining how to deal with these various problems. He had a situation here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that he wanted to clarify with them. Verse 9, he says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. So he had already written to them before. Don't company with fornicators. Verse number 10, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. He says, I didn't mean when I said that, that you can't be around, can't be with people who sin. Continuing in verse 11, he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. If they call themselves one of us, and their lifestyle does not agree, then Paul says, don't hang around with them. But he says, I'm not saying don't hang around with anybody who sins. Because, as he said in verse 10, if that was the case, you would have to go out of the world. You couldn't have any friends. You couldn't be around anybody. Now, we need to be careful. I'm not saying go find the worst people you can and hang out with them. Your parents will be after me, and I don't blame them. We have to be careful who our friends are, but can we deal with and work with people who are different than us? People who are atheists. What if some of your friends say, I don't even believe in God? Well, I'll take Paul's words and say, if you avoid everybody who doesn't believe or doesn't care about whether there's a God, you'll have to go out of the world. You can't go anywhere, can't do anything, can't be with anybody. What if they do things that you know you're not supposed to? Don't go along with them and do it, but can you talk with them? What would they say if somebody asked about you? Would they say, oh, you know, he won't smoke. We all smoke, he won't do that. But he's a pretty nice guy. That's what we would like. We would like to be able to have some kind of a relationship with all kinds of people and be able to hang on to our morals and what our parents have taught us and still remain disciples of Jesus Christ. Number three, very practical point. The training program that God has for us includes learning to, and when we reach that age, providing for a family and home. What does that mean? Why does God care about that? 2 Thessalonians. Very practical requirement here. Very practical category. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul writes, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us." Again, Paul is saying, if they're in the church, if they say they're part of the church, but they're not living what we told you, then you need to back off from them. Don't get caught up in that. What did Paul teach them? Verse 7, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you." We weren't disorderly when we were there with you. I'm not there now, I'm writing you a letter. Remember how I was when I was there. Remember how I acted. Remember how I lived my life. Verse 8, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but worked with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you." Paul worked when he was in Thessalonica. He had a day job. And on weekends and evenings, he changed the world by preaching the gospel of God. Verse number 9, "Not because we have not power." He could have asked for tithes. Tithing is a law. He could have asked for tithes from them. He said, "I had power. I had authority to do that. I didn't have to work. I was doing the work of God." But not because we did not have power, continuing in verse 9, "but to make ourselves an example for you to follow us." Verse 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." God's training program means that we learn to take care of ourselves. That's why your parents encourage you to get an education. That's why your parents encourage you to develop skills. There are all sorts of things you can do to make money, to take care of your family. Now is the time to prepare for that, to consider those things. Now is the time to learn, what do you like to do? What can I do that would be worth being paid? Somebody will pay me to do that. I can take care of my family. What about insurance, financial planning, retirement? All those things seem far, far away. They're not. They're coming. They're a responsibility we have. By learning to handle those things, by getting a career, by developing a way of taking care of a family, by learning how to make good purchases, by learning how to take care of a home, fix things, repair things, all those skills, that's got nothing to do with God. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We've been here before already this feast. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. That doesn't have anything to do with God. Well, yes, it does. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Paul is very stern here, making it very clear. "But if any provide not for his own," 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, "if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Think it matters to God whether we care about providing for our family? Yes, it matters tremendously. It's part of the training program that God has for us. This life that we live is the training program that God has for us. If we live this life as disciples of Christ, take care of our families, develop our skills, we're working on the program that God has for us. We live in a world that doesn't understand about families. Now, if you're young, you don't understand that, because this is the way the world is to you. Look around at all of us with gray hair, less hair, wrinkles. This is not the way the world has always been. There was a time, hard as it may be for you to believe, young people, there was a time when people knew the difference between male and female. Boy, amazing stuff. But there was a time when every human being knew what the difference was between a male and a female. The world doesn't understand that now. I'm not sure what the number is up to. One time I read there were 36 genders. In the beginning, God created man, male and female, created he him. Created he them in the image of God, male and female. You have a lot of work to do, young people. Preparing and training to serve God when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Number four. This is the tough one. Those first three are easy. This is a tough one. Number four. The training program requires that we develop the quality of sterling personal character. You want to be a leader in the world tomorrow, develop character. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. One of those scriptures that strikes fear in the heart of all of us who read it, think about it, ponder it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus Christ, the words of Jesus Christ, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." The word perfect in Greek is teleos, and it means complete, mature, complete for the purpose intended. That's what we are to become. God in heaven is perfect. He is complete. Everything that is necessary for there to be a God is part of God. Everything that a God requires, he has. He wants you and I to become that as well. He wants you and I to become individuals that have everything necessary to be part of the God family and to live and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years and to help others come to that same place. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Our job, just one challenge for you today. Our job, your job, is to become perfect. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers and Sabbath school teachers and ushers and song leaders and piano players and those who set up halls and those who find halls and those who work in the kitchen." He gave all of those what? Verse 12, "for the perfecting of the saints." Why are we here? We're here to become perfect. Why did God give us the Feast of Tabernacles in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, 2019? So that we can become perfect. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, service, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Verse 13, "till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect person." That's what the church is here for. That's why all the programs are put together. For one simple thing: till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the teleos person. To be complete. If you're 5, if you're 6, if you're 15, if you're 16, that's a challenge God puts before you, to become complete and perfect. When you're perfect, you can be a leader in God's family. And God's given us a lifetime to live as disciples of Christ, to reach that state of being complete. Paul continues. I love the way Paul writes. He just goes on and on. If that's not bad enough, if that's not challenging enough, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to become like our elder brother. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. There's nothing wrong with being children when you're children. We have a society that has forgotten how to grow up. Young people, don't be part of that. Don't let yourself become part of those who never grow up. They're out there. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Why do they do that? It's typically one reason. They want your money. It's what drives our world. Outside these doors, there are millions of people who care about one thing about you, and that is that you would take out your wallet and give them your money. We have to be careful. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. That we can grow up and be like Christ. Young people, old people, all of us, what are we trying to do? We're trying to become like Christ. That's all. That's all we have to do. Just become perfect like Christ. And then we'll be ready to serve in the world tomorrow. But God's training program is designed to do exactly that for us if we follow along with the program. Well, I'm ready for the punchline now, for the surprise. But I forgot one thing. Don't you hate it when you tell a joke and then right as you get ready to give the punchline, you say, oh, I forgot to tell him something. I forgot to tell you in the beginning about that farmer. He was a left-handed Irishman. Sorry, I forgot that part when I told you about the farmer. Now I'm going to pause here for a minute. That's not even a joke. I made up the punchline, and I made up the left-handed. Don't come and ask me afterwards, what is the whole joke? There is no joke. There's a punchline and a left-handed Irishman. So that's all I have. If you can fill in the rest and turn it into a joke, I'd love to hear about it. But anyway, it was just an example. But I did forget to tell you one thing before I give you the punchline. Turn, if you will, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. This is important before we hit the punchline. The surprise I have for you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I thought you said, Mr. Wilson, that there is male and female. Yes, there is in our physical lives. Paul here is talking about the ultimate destiny for mankind. There is no male, female. There is no Jew, Greek. There is no bond or free. It doesn't matter when we're part of the kingdom of God. We're all going to be part of the family of God, and we're all going to work together. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Everyone sitting here is an heir according to the promise, if we join the training program. An heir of what? An heir of all things. Whatever you can see with your eyes, with your telescope, whatever you can see, we're to inherit all of that if we're part of the program. Doesn't matter, bond or free, Jew or Greek, male or female. Keep that in mind. I'm going to turn over here to a newer translation, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I want to read this passage. Turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Where did I get this idea of four categories of qualities desired in godly leaders? 1 Timothy chapter 3. In the Bible I have here, it says, qualifications of church leaders. This is what we read when someone is going to be ordained. It's not what I'm up here for today. What I'm up here is to encourage you to look at this as a syllabus for the training program that God has for every one of us. Jew, Greek, bond, free, male, female. Let's read it. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a trust, this saying, if I can read it, we'll be good. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble work. An overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, blameless, respectable. The husband of one wife, the faithful husband of one wife, or the faithful wife of one husband. It applies both ways. Again, we're talking about being trained to lead in the kingdom of God. Neither male nor female. We're not worried in this message about our status today. We're talking about the kingdom of God. The husband of one wife. This is how we learn. This is the training program. You want to be weird in the world today? Be the faithful spouse of one person. Of the opposite sex. How about that? You want to be weird? Try that. Self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, an able teacher. Those don't sound like wondrous traits for leaders. Where's the doctorate degree in theology? Where's the MBA? Where's the own your own business and run a business? Oh, those things are fine. It's not what God's looking for. It's not how he decides where we fit in his kingdom. Not addicted to wine. Young people, look around you at your friends and the addictions that they have. The list can go on and on. What can they not live without? Not addicted to wine. Not a bully, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not greedy. One who manages his own household competently, having his children under control with all dignity. Well, there's a handful. Young people, you can learn now, while you're living with your parents, how to raise children, how to rear children when you're on your own. You can learn from the good things your parents do. You can learn from the bad things your parents do. And if you have parents like mine, or like my children have, you'll get an experience of both. But having children under control with all dignity. Does God care about our children, how they're reared, how they're raised, how they're taught? Yes, he does. It's part of our training program. How important is it? Paul says, verse 5, if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of God's church? If he can't manage his own household, if she can't manage her own household, how can they rule in the kingdom of God? It starts small. He must not be a new convert, verse 6, or he might become conceited and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation among outsiders. Oh, I didn't think it mattered. Yes, it matters. What do your friends at school think about you? What do your neighbors think about you? What do your teachers think about you? If we're living God's way, you will have a good reputation among outsiders, so that he does not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and they must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. We're all being tested. If we can prove blameless, then we can serve with Jesus Christ when he returns to this earth. Wives, too, must be worthy of respect, not slanderers. How do we use our tongue? Well, that's just for the wives. No, neither male nor female. Remember, we're learning to be part of God's kingdom. It applies to all of us, not slanderers. How do we use our tongue? Self-controlled. This is the same kind of a list. These words are the same. Faithful in everything. Oh, there's a challenge. Trustworthy in everything. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. The smallest things can matter. Deacons must be the husbands of one wife, managing their children and their own households competently. That's the syllabus of the training program that God has for us. If you want to join, you can join and begin today. The life that God has given us, as we live that life successfully as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that's the training program that God provides. This physical life is our classroom. God desires that we live this life as Christ's disciples, and that we learn by living a righteous life in a family environment to be prepared to share that with all others for all eternity. As a final scripture, turn to James chapter 1. There is one bit of warning. Anybody who's been in God's church for very long knows what this means. James chapter 1. And verse 2, James writes, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work," there's that word again, "her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." It's not going to be easy. Good training programs are not easy. God has given you and me a special opportunity to be in the greatest training program of all time, and that is to prepare to live in eternity with God and Jesus Christ and serve his family. Please accept the challenge and join the training program if you haven't. Continue in the training program if you've already joined. But commit yourself to being part of and successfully completing the training program that God has prepared for each one of us.